Hey, Foot Clan, if you're ever stopped at a railway crossing and the signals are flashing and you don't see the train or it appears to be moving slow and you're thinking maybe you can sneak across those tracks before the train comes, think about this. Even if the engineer sees you and applies the brakes right away, it can take a train over a mile to stop. Over a mile. By that time, it's too late and the resulting crash will be deadly. A reminder, stop. Trains can't.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Welcome one and all to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Excited to be with you. Now, I thought about mixing it up on the intro. I had a good play called, but I thought about bringing in maybe a little bit of a gadget introduction. Maybe have Taysom Hill come in and do the intro today. What do you guys think of that plan?
You know, as you say it, I got excited and then I got disappointed.
Okay.
Now, first of all, I want to say I'm disappointed in using Taysom Hill. Just in general.
Right.
Just emotionally, I can't handle it anymore, and I hate that the last play worked because it just means they're going to stick with it. But more importantly, I thought what you meant was that it's football time.
It is football time, Mike.
Oh, my
goodness.
And
Michael, right? You have let us all down.
I sincerely apologize to everyone. I totally forgot about TuesdayNightFootball.com. I'm glad you brought it up. Let's just get it out of the way with the Taysom
Hill stuff.
I
thought maybe that's how we'd open things up.
Yes.
Because we
need to talk about it.
Jason, Mike, you both were not happy.
Like, this is we stay politically free on this show. This is a fun zone.
It's a fantasy football show.
Yes. We all have huge difference of opinions especially in this world right now. But when I can jump on Twitter and I see how united the football landscape is in our push for stop using Taysom Hill in all of these dumb gadget plays, it gives me hope for the future of America.
It's one thing to use Taysom Hill in dumb gadget plays when they don't matter. But you want to know when they kept bringing him in? Every time it mattered. We need a big play. Oh, it's third down. Oh, it's third down. Game's on the line. You better get the Hall of Famer out. You better take Drew Brees out of the game. What are you doing? It's not like Drew Brees couldn't have also scored the touchdown there.
Drew Brees, sadly, standing on the sideline on all those plays where the camera, of course, was affixed to him.
As it should be.
You just wonder what goes through his head. Like, oh, seriously? Sean? Are you really doing this right now? Are you? What? Huh?
He's a good soldier. He'll follow. He will say, absolutely. Yes. I support the coach. Coach tells me to do something, I will do it. And I love that about Drew Brees. That's great. And I love Sean Payton. He's great. But there's something Taysom Hill has. I don't know if it's a nephew situation, and we just don't know the lineage of Taysom Hill from Sean Payton, but there is some
adopted child, yeah.
Like issue that Taysom Hill has over Sean Payton.
And I even feel
no, but
like,
guys, it worked. They won.
Well, that's...
stop it!
I know that Saints fans were super happy about the Taysom Hill rushing touchdown, but I feel like even the Saints fans that I'm connected with on Twitter are like, please stop. Please stop doing it.
If you want to put him in at running back, tight end, wide receiver, if you want to run an occasional end around where he ends up chucking it instead of, running it, cool. You want to bring him in at quarterback on third and important.
Right.
That is a frightening
and the, yes,
sign.
I get it. Peyton sees the end result, oh, justified of using Taysom Hill. Imagine you did not have all those negative results from those big, important plays from Taysom Hill earlier. Perhaps your team is up 14 points instead of trying to tie the game at the very end.
Up 14, you can put him in the quarterback.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure, that's great. Get up 14 and then put
and then
in.
Blow the lead.
Now, is it a bit of a catch-22? So this is the Taysom Hill podcast, in case you were wondering. Is it a catch-22 that they paid him all that money, so now they feel like they have to use him in those, even though they're not working?
Oh, absolutely.
That's the equivalent of the fantasy football pot committed on the drafted player, right? Yes. You draft somebody that's supposed to be great.
Yes, it is.
And don't then you start like Kenyon Drake every week.
Exactly.
All right, youtube.com/thefantasyfootballers if you want to watch the show. If you are watching right now, you would see that Mike has come into our beautiful set, and he has knocked over the Keenan Allen figurine on the desk in rebellion to what happened last night, being knocked out early after a great start.
I do not hold Keenan Allen responsible. The man got hurt.
It seems like you might a little bit.
No, look. He got hurt. I get it. You know, players get hurt. It was Fugland. You want to talk about a bad beat of this week in fantasy football. Andy will be the highest scoring team in our league of record. I don't know if I hit second or third.
I think you did hit second.
But I had Dalvin Cook on Monday, and I had Keenan Allen, or Dalvin Cook Sunday night, Keenan Allen Monday, and it was a lead that seemed impossible for me to come back. Until halfway through Sunday night, when Dalvin Cook was just manhandling the Seattle Seahawks. And then it was, okay, he gets injured. I still at least have a shot if Keenan Allen goes out and has a great game. First quarter touchdown. Holy crap, this is going to... Nope. Yeah, we're done. We're done. So two injuries.
I noticed
took
you
me
disappeared
out.
From Slack for quite a while after that injury, Mike.
Yeah, it hurt.
Needed a moment?
It hurt a lot. I had my own back spasms after that.
Sympathetic?
Yes.
All right, Twitter at the FF Ballers.
Get better, Keenan.
Today's a waiver show on the same day that we have a TuesdayNightFootball.com game. And so that's kind of interesting. That's kind of different. But you can get your waiver claims in. From what I've seen on platforms, I mean, you kind of treat it like a normal Wednesday waiver day, but you do have the interesting game tonight, which no new tests. We're going to have a football game. That is very exciting.
I do say, though, we can't move on from this game without talking. So we got to we got to shower some praises here.
Okay.
On first round pick, Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
That dude was balling out. Him, Mike Williams, I mean, to lose by 3 points to the Saints on the road.
He had the fresh thyme. He had the cilantro.
You dropped the H off his name.
Yes.
He was out there.
Austin Herbert.
You dropped the H, and you were right on this call. I mean, you said that you thought Justin Herbert would have a great game. I saw it going more the direction of the Joe Burrow situation against Baltimore, where it's like the moment's too big for you against a team like the Saints, but the Saints really they've been vulnerable.
They're beatable in the secondary.
And that's really what you focused on when you said, hey, maybe Herbert has a great game. And he had it in spite of losing Keenan Allen. He had it with the greatest contested catch player maybe that exists in the game today, Mike Williams, although he is always hurt because of the way he approaches the game.
That's true.
He needs to learn how to land on his feet.
Impossible.
Get this man a kitty cat.
He was apparently a high jumper in high school. He learned how to do that
the flop.
He jumps up, gets higher than everybody.
I believe it.
Lands on his back expecting a big pillow.
He's an incredible player.
He's so good.
He is so good. But and then Jason has had a knack for picking tight ends that end up in the end zone because he keeps picking them against the Saints.
Yeah, it's a delightful process.
So I feel bad for the Chargers. Here's what I'm worried. This is going to be the stamp of doom, but I like Anthony Lynn. I think he's a good head coach. I said that about some other head coaches.
Yeah.
I am worried
that
these
the man, Anthony Lynn.
I worry that the close losses are going to, you know, he's not going to be around to enjoy this future for Justin Herbert, who seems, to me, the closest thing to the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes arm that we have outside of those two players right now.
Yeah, he has a cannon.
I mean, it's one of those things where, like, Drew Brees is great. Drew Brees is old. Drew Brees likes the ball underneath. And Drew Brees is not going to roll to his left and throw across his body on a laser beam. And Justin Herbert can do that kind of stuff.
There was a play where Justin Herbert got hit. His arm got hit, so he wasn't even able to complete the full motion of a pass. I think that went 40 or 50 air yards.
It was incredible.
And he barely underthrew it with his arm getting hit. It was unbelievable.
Disappointing game for Joshua Kelly, fantasy football players who
managers
who expected more from him. honestly, it's gotten worse and worse every week for Joshua Kelly.
He looks bad.
He looks bad. And Justin Jackson, conversely, looks good.
Yeah, well, Jackson's numbers are a bit inflated. 15 for 71 for Justin Jackson on the ground, 11 for 29 for Joshua Kelly. The running plays were infuriating last night because they were just running into a brick wall over and over. Jackson's numbers are a bit inflated because he had a 36-yard run on, I think it was on a draw, and it was a great run by Jackson, not taking it away from him. But this was my when we were on the waiver show last week talking about Dearness Johnson versus Justin Jackson, it was, I know Justin Jackson has a role. I did not expect Justin Jackson to come out and out-touch Joshua Kelly, but that's where we are moving forward.
Yeah, and that's a big deal for fantasy players.
Especially in the passing game.
Yeah, 5 catches for Justin Jackson. So it was an interesting game. We got another one tonight. You guys want to talk some news?
Yep.
News and notes from around the league.
All right, no new positives for the Titans. That's the big news today, which means we'll have a game. A.J. Brown is questionable. That's his designation. He did have a full practice on Saturday. He's going to be in this game.
Right.
Well, we're not going to have Corey Davis, right? He's on the COVID
Correct.
List.
Correct.
So,
or Adam Humphries.
Right. So, Jonnu Smith,
mm-hmm.
A.J. Brown, and I am very curious how rusty the Titans appear tonight. It's a difficult matchup with Buffalo. They can throw some different things at you. We haven't seen this is week 5. A.J. Brown hasn't had an impact on the 2020 fantasy season yet.
Sure.
This could be his first chance.
The nice thing about having Rust is the game plan for the Titans will be give the ball to Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Dalvin Cook is reportedly not expected to play on Sunday's week 6 matchup. He's got a bye after this week. It's an adductor strain.
My adductor.
Oh, yeah. But he should be back after that. So that is the good news.
Yes, he should be. The verbiage was, we will reevaluate him after the bye week. So it's very optimistic about it, but you also do need be preparing just in case he's not back.
Wasn't Mike Zimmer, somebody said that he was fine after the game?
Yeah, they said that it was minor, I believe, is what they said.
I think this is best case for Cook. Managers, actually,
yes.
Give him the 2 weeks.
Absolutely. You've got 1 week of Alexander Mattison, which should be a great pickup we'll talk about shortly, mm-hmm. then a bye week, and then Cook is back.
Keenan Allen with the back spasms. No real concerns from our injury expert, Matthew Betts, but he did miss the remainder of the game.
The bye week is timed up for the Chargers pretty well here.
Yeah, Matt Rhule said he will make a decision on Christian McCaffrey's week 6 status after tests on the ankle. It was a 4 to 6 week injury. If he came back, it would be right at the 4 week mark, and he's not expecting it. When he talks about this, when you saw an interview yesterday, he said, yeah, there's probably no way he's back this week, so keep playing Mike Davis.
Yes, he's also the quote on Mike Davis. They said, Matt, Ja Rule, what do you think of Mike Davis' performance so far? And he said, oh, murder.
Yeah, he's right. He's right, and well said. Well said. any other news that Sammy Watkins is going to miss a couple of weeks?
That does impact the wide receiver pickups of the week.
Sure, absolutely. Which we're going to get into right now.
Yep.
Put me in, coach.
All right, returning from the bye, the Lions and the Packers, and then the Broncos and the Patriots, who had an impromptu bye, as we call it in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Week 6 bye weeks, Raiders, Saints, Seahawks, Chargers. Great, the Chargers get to sit in that close loss for another week.
Mm.
That's tough. All right, here are some drop candidates. Whenever we do our waiver show, we like to bring up some names that we see frequently on Twitter, Instagram, players that someone's wondering, maybe if I go after a waiver wire pickup, these are the guys I got to let go. Russell Gage. I think you can let him go.
Gage is droppable for these first couple players we're going to talk about, yes.
Michael Gallup. That's one of the toughest players this year.
Yes, really interesting because he has been involved. He's a player we have recommended not dropping because he's been in a great offense with a bad defense, and he's had a couple good games. But now with the kind of middling performance he's given you, adding in Andy Dalton, you go, can you trust him? And if Michael Gallup were on waivers, he would be someone I would be looking to pick up, but not necessarily first in priority over some of the other guys we're about to talk about.
Yeah, he feels like he should be rostered. Through 5 weeks, he has one nice week, week three. He was the seventh overall wide receiver that week. And then pretty much nothing good.
The hard part for Michael Gallup is you don't know now what's Andy Dalton going to do as the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. What are his tendencies? I mean, that's why we were talking about there's some concern here for Dalton Schultz. Will Dalton utilize that the tight end position the way that Dak Prescott did? Who is Andy Dalton going to favor? And Michael Gallup did see three targets from Andy Dalton. He's not a player I'm dropping right now.
What's nice about Dalton as the backup is this is not a situation where you're bringing in somebody that's going to be afraid to challenge down the field. Dalton has an extensive career. He's done it before. It doesn't mean he's going to be good at it, but he's not going to be afraid. Sometimes you bring in a game manager that's just going to hand the ball off to Zeke. At least Dalton has a little bit of ceiling in situation. So if he takes a liking to Michael Gallup, maybe it means something.
Sure.
Deontay Johnson, no way you're dropping Deontay Johnson.
No, he's just unfortunately been hurt.
I don't think that there are a lot of players in the wide receiver realm that I'd be dropping, you know, Gallup for of this group. Chase Claypool is the big name of the week at the wide receiver position. He had the breakout performance, three touchdowns. When you look at the
four, technically, if you count the rushing touchdowns.
I do count the rushing touchdowns.
That's right. Fantasy
four,
points,
four
in fact,
touchdowns.
Count them.
Yeah, we were looking up all the players that had four touchdown games at wide receiver. And, of course, Jerry Rice had a 218-yard, five touchdown game.
Of course
he
did.
In his career. But Claypool, he came out, he balled out. He didn't run as many routes as James Washington or Juju Smith-Schuster. Deontay Johnson was hurt. Those are kind of your temper expectations bullet points for Chase Claypool. Now, this week he has Cleveland. That's a great matchup for fantasy wide receivers. Let me ask you this. What are you investing in Chase Claypool in terms of fab and blowing your waiver priority? And then are you willing to instantly start him chasing last week?
I am willing to instantly start him as far as if you have the number one waiver priority, if your league is in that, and Madison is there, I get it. Maybe it's only one game of Madison. That still would be the move I would make. If Madison is not on the waiver wire, then Claypool would be my number one claim. I would be willing to break my waiver priority for it. In terms of fab, you know, at least 15-plus percent here. I believe in Chase Claypool, the player. It's interesting, you know, because every year you have these random games. Ogletree is from the Dallas Cowboys years ago. That's kind of always the reference point. Week one, Ogletree comes out, has a three touchdown game. What do you do with that? You mark that as that's a one off because that's not who he was designed to be for this team. Chase Claypool was a second round pick for a team that is preparing to get rid of, or not get rid of, but not retain the services of Juju Smith-Schuster. So if you're the Steelers, how do you go backwards from when Chase Claypool has shown you exactly what he can do, the impact he can make on a game as a rookie? How do you not unleash him?
And why? Why do you go backwards?
Right.
You shouldn't.
That's what I mean. But that's also then buying into we warn about believing in the rational coaching fallacy of these coaches don't always do what you think is the right thing to do.
That's true. But Mike Tomlin is a really proven, known commodity, a great procurer of putting talent in the right positions to do what they do best. And so I'm gonna believe in Chase Claypool. This week, I know Deontay Johnson went down with a back injury, and so some of the snaps are probably skewed a little bit. Some of the targets are skewed. Deontay Johnson probably would have led the team in targets, and that would have taken away from the 100 yards that Claypool got. But prior to the injury, this was Chase Claypool's first start. They put him into the starting lineup.
Yes.
So he was
part of the
plan. They were drawing up plays for him. The talent is there. He's proven he can do it. He looks great. So, yeah, I agree. Chase Claypool's the number one wide receiver pickup of the week. And I think, you know, I don't know if I'm willing to pay enough because of the Deontay Johnson. I'm probably 15% of my budget.
I'm more. I'm more. I regretted not spending up on Justin Jefferson, somebody I believe has staying power in that offense. And you make a great point with him. This was his first start. Now, Deontay Johnson, I was reading about him this morning. He's going to be back. He's going to be back. It was not considered a major injury. But Claypool, I think he's somebody that you want to take your shot on, because if he is this special player, mm-hmm. you can win a league with him. This is not a one-week rental situation, but you can start him right away against Cleveland. So I would go 25%.
All right.
Or more. Maybe right. 30. I'm going to go to 30.
I like
Can
it.
I get 35?
Look, I do not blame you. And if, you know, athletic profiles can be overrated. But it, you need to understand, if you're not familiar with Chase Claypool, let's say you're not a dynasty player, so you've already, you know.
It's a new name for you.
Right, he's new to you. Chase Claypool is 6'4", 240 pounds, and ran a 4.42. Like his, if you go look on the fantasyfootballers.com, look at his athletic profile, or his player profile, I should say. His athleticism score as a 6'4", 240-pound man is 96 out of 100. This dude, Mapletron, is an absolute machine. He's a beast, man.
Yeah, when you can run like that, you can play the Martavis Bryant deep route role, but then right. you can be involved in things like these. I mean, he got rushing attempts multiple times in this game. He's very, very interesting moving forward. And,
agreed.
And this was a – you don't put up four touchdowns. This doesn't happen occasionally to a nobody.
Right. This was the perfect timing of the talent was there. He just needed the opportunity to come to have his breakout moment. It came sooner than I thought it was going to. I thought Claypool was a longer-term type of a player for the Steelers, but he took it to 100.
Yeah, and he did it against me in Dynasty.
You might say.
Spectacular.
I don't appreciate the rushing usage, though. James Conner was on the goal line, and I could have used that touchdown chase. You had enough.
But speaking of taking it to 100, this episode of the Fantasy Footballers is brought to you by Head & Shoulders, available at Walmart. This year, we're doing a new segment every Thursday. We are going to be picking our up to 100 players of the week. Last week, Andy, and if you're new to the show, we're trying to pick players who, like, these aren't top 24. Just, you know, they're a locked and loaded starter. You have some questions. Andy went with LaVisca Chenault, wide receiver from the Jacksonville Jaguars. And this...
I man. Count it.
Oh, no, I'm saying this sure. man absolutely took it to 100. He was the leading receiver on the team. He was well worth the start. I imagine we're talking about him in the waiver section here. If we're not, we need to get him in there. Jason went with Darius Slayton, who
took it to 100.
He took it.
Yards
great,
receiving.
It was a great game. Great
he
game.
Absolutely did. And I was with Eric Ebron, who was on his way until he fumbled the opportunity away.
Twice.
Oh, Eric Ebron. Yeah. Well, one was an official fumble. Yeah. The other one was, it was probably a fumble.
And then the Steelers were like, man, do we have anyone else 6'4 that can get touchdowns? Oh, Chase Claypool, why don't you have four touchdowns?
So, Foot Clan, take your hair up to 100 with Head & Shoulders, available at Walmart. Pick yours up today and check out this Thursday's episode to hear our up to 100 picks of the week.
And Footland, we want to thank HelloFresh, longtime great sponsor. I mean, they sponsor so many of my dinners, and that's really important to me. It's one of the most important things in my life. You can get fresh
dinner sponsorship.
Dinner, well, just dinner in general. I do it every day. I highly recommend you eat dinner as well, and do it with HelloFresh, because you can get fresh pre-measured ingredients. Mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. Skip the grocery store. Everything about HelloFresh is great. You've got a carbon footprint that's 25% lower than store-bought grocery-made meals. They offer delicious options for everybody, whether you want a low-calorie or vegetarian or kid-friendly. Just check it out. They are fantastic. Simple steps, easy to make. You will love having these done for you. I love the variety in my dinners. Go to HelloFresh.com/Fantasy80 and use the code Fantasy80 to get a total of $80 off across five boxes, including free shipping on your first box. That's HelloFresh.com/Fantasy80 and code Fantasy80 for $80 off across five boxes, including free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for more details.
All right, there are a lot of other wide receiver names that maybe we have similar opinions on, maybe some different ones. Mike, you brought up the fact that Watkins is going to be out for a little while. McCole Hardman looks a little bit more interesting.
Yes, he does.
Also, Travis Fulgham had the breakout game for the Eagles this past week. And when I say breakout, I mean it. It's 10 for 152 and one. This is a player that is 6'3", 215, has been dumped by multiple teams, the Lions, the Packers, even the Eagles before they brought him back. He had his shot and he took advantage, and he's not rostered in any league right now.
Yeah, but the thing about Travis Fulgham for the Philadelphia Eagles, like when Carson Wentz is looking at his options of who's down the field, he's got Zach Ertz there. And so Travis Fulgham just looks like an absolute superstar talent.
Do you believe in this past week's breakout against Pittsburgh to the degree that you are wanting to put him on your redraft roster?
I personally have concerns. I believe in the fact that he can get it done and that they need someone to get it done. So if you need a shot, you can't argue with 13 targets, 10 receptions, and 150 yards. What I can argue with is
he had the big touchdown 2 weeks ago as well against San Francisco.
Right. The issue I have is that this upcoming week is against Baltimore. I don't think I would start him this week. I don't have the fortitude to pick up Travis Fulgham and start him in this matchup. That's not to say he can't perform. It's just the odds say he won't.
Right.
And then you start to go, okay, at what point do Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson come back? Are they both back in 2 weeks? And if they're back, are you starting Travis Fulgham? I don't have the fortitude to start him over a roster that has pass catchers. Now,
what about as a dynasty ad?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. 100%.
So you see him having a role in this offense potentially in the future?
Yeah, the potential is there. He came through. He had the big week. I'm with Jason where I want to add Fulgham in redraft. I just don't know what the actual status of DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey are moving forward. I know that it's fun to joke around about those guys are perma injured because they kind of are. But Alshon Jeffrey has been participating in practices. He's just not to the point of where he's ready to get back on the field. But I believe that Carson Wentz he can get the job done as at the quarterback position, and he needs a weapon to do it. And right now, Travis Fulgham is looking like the only guy on the team to do it.
I want to add the rookies this week. That's sure. What I want to do. I want to add.
It's about time, yeah.
I don't want the second fiddle options. Emmanuel Sanders, yeah, he had a great game.
Right.
I'm not that excited about him. He's on bye, and Michael Thomas will be back. Preston Williams, no, I'm not buying 1 week of Williams. Christian Kirk, no, I'm not buying the second fiddle player for Arizona. Who do I want? I want Henry Ruggs. I want Laviska Shenault.
T. Higgins.
I want T. Higgins, who's whatever happened to A.J. Green in that game, it went from bad to worse.
Oof.
And he could be traded. He could be released. He could be benched. Here's what we do know. He'll be irrelevant.
Yeah.
And so T. Higgins is somebody that throw last week away in terms of Joe Burrow's week. Higgins still had 4 for 62. He still had 8 targets and
led the wide receivers in snaps again.
Yeah, and A.J. Green did technically have an injury to his ego and his hamstring. So those are the players that I am interested in, along with Mike Williams. Hmm. Mike Williams, after last night, he could be a player that is ignored in terms of fab dollars this week
because of the
bye week. Mm-hmm. So you could end up picking him up now, or you could wait. Maybe you take your shot on the rookies?
I mean, compare Higgins, who I really like. We've been talking him up for a while with Mike Williams. I don't think you're going to want to start either of these guys this week. Mike Williams certainly not. He's on bye. But it's an Indianapolis matchup for T. Higgins. I don't think you're going to be confident there. Mike Williams, I remember early in the game watching Justin Herbert I forget the wide receiver that he slightly overthrew, but he has such a good-looking deep ball, and I kept thinking early, right off the bat in that game, I thought to myself, I need to go trade for Mike Williams in our leagues. I know he's rostered in all the leagues I'm playing in. I need to go trade for him. So if he's on waivers,
yes,
I am absolutely—he has the skill set that matches up with the deep ball of Justin Herbert. That's going to be a beautiful thing, I think, for a long time. So he's there. Outside of the
Chase Claypool or Mike Williams, who would you be prioritizing?
I because of the bye week, probably Chase Claypool.
Okay.
The upside is there, but I do see Mike Williams on that level, like as high as any other wide receiver out here.
You're going to have to invest a lot less on Mike Williams fab-wise than you will on Claypool.
That's awesome.
And for context, the schedule for Mike Williams, yeah, the bye week, but Jacksonville plus matchup, Denver plus matchup, Las Vegas Raiders plus matchup. The Chargers are set up here after they get out of the bye week.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good wide receivers to pick up. I think last week was a little empty. This week has filled the tank. Another player that is high on my list. I really want to pick up Mecole Hardman. I think, you know, Sammy Watkins is missing multiple weeks here. And this is a clear-cut second fiddle, really a third fiddle, because you've got Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
There's only so many fiddles that could be in a band, Jason.
But you can have three. If the band,
I don't know, it's usually one.
Is the conductor of the orchestra Pat Mahomes? Because then he loves them fiddles. He'll get a cello in there. He'll get every.
Jason goes to a lot of three fiddle orchestras.
Yes, exactly.
Because orchestras are where the fiddle really makes its home.
Especially when you go to the a real renowned orchestra, and you say, "Oh, I see you play the fiddle."
Yep. Three of them,
and then the violin stabs you in the eye with a bow.
My point is, Mecole Hardman. We saw, you know, last year as a rookie, he got off to a really strong start for fantasy when Tyreek Hill was out, and I said early on in the season he's someone that can play his way into more snaps, more usage, or an injury to someone ahead of him, and we have it now with Sammy Watkins out of the way.
Brandon Cooks would be another name you could bring up. I mean, he's a player that you can take a shot on any week because he is a starting wide receiver while healthy for the Texans. Had a great week last week. It's really, really difficult for me personally to trust Brandon Cooks because
I get it.
It seems to be very hit and miss. Like, I don't know why he disappeared the week before to have no catches, but apparently he is not done, not retired. So another player you could look at. At the running back position, let's shift gears now. Some of the top drop candidates brought up on Twitter and Instagram, they're very interesting names. Because if you're going to go out and make a splash, you want to pick up Alexander Mattison. You need a start against Atlanta. Great matchup. This week, it is Madison. Are you going to drop Jerick McKinnon? I certainly would.
For Madison, I would, yes.
Yeah, I would not straight up drop Jerick McKinnon. I think that game was, like I said, just they got punched in the mouth 30-something to 7 at halftime. They benched their quarterback. McKinnon is an injury-prone player, and they basically don't use him. You know, this reminds me of the Daryl Henderson game where he said he was sore, he was hurting, he was tired, and then all of a sudden the next game they don't use him. You come back the following game, and he's the guy. So I would drop him for Alexander Mattison if I need a start 100%.
Would you drop him? You're not going to get a start from him, but would you drop him for Justin Jackson from the Chargers?
Man, I wish we had more clarity on Austin Eckler's injury.
Eckler's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, I mean, if it's 6 weeks and you've got a bye week in there, I think I would prefer to have McKinnon. But
okay.
What about you two?
I would rather have Jackson.
Yeah, likewise. I think we had that exact question before the weekend, too. We did on Thursday or Friday, and we both went the Jackson route because I think we were higher on him. Ingram, Dobbins, what do you do here? Again, this is a time of year. Mike, when we were talking before the season, one of our top 10 tips and tricks is to approach the season in these different chunks, right? You need to buy weeks sometimes, which means making a sacrifice on what you hope a player can become to get yourself a victory. The bye weeks are here. So between bye weeks and must-have wins, does that change the equation for what you do with Ingram and Dobbins? Because I think I'm willing to move on from Ingram personally.
They're still upside bench players. It's the exact same thing of did you have Madison sitting on a bench? I mean, if you drafted Dalvin Cook, there we talk about it, we don't draft insurance backup running backs, but Dalvin Cook, 100% of the places I drafted him, I prioritized Alexander Mattison. So hopefully the 40% of leagues is that those are Foot Clan members out there who drafted Madison for this case. That's what Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins are, though, where if there is an injury to that backfield, and we are seeing injuries aplenty this year, like, let's say Mark Ingram, we see him go down and he's going to miss a few weeks, or he wins a luxury vacation. He's not going to be there for a while. You know who the number one ad next week is? It is J.K. Dobbins. So that's, you're just trying to stay ahead of the curve, but it does cost you some roster equity.
Yeah. I feel like that's true, but I don't know that the reverse is true. If J.K. Dobbins goes down, is Mark Ingram this?
Makes no difference.
Yeah, and so to me, Mark Ingram, who has not been good but has a big name, has had a couple of touchdowns. I wonder if he's someone you could package, trade, you know, just
possible. That's a better strategy.
Try to take him, add him to another player, and slightly upgrade that other player as opposed to dropping him. Then you get to pick up a waiver option and upgrade your roster.
Yeah, because running backs are hard to come by, and you can start Mark Ingram in a pinch.
You can.
You can always ask yourself the question in reverse. If Mark Ingram's on waivers in your league, do you pick him up? I do.
I would, yeah.
Now, if you need to get a victory this week, are you dropping Mark Ingram to get Alexander Mattison?
Yes, 100%. Alexander Mattison this week, things can go south in really, really fast in fantasy football. But on paper, Alexander Mattison will be treated very similar to Dalvin Cook. He won't be Dalvin Cook, but Mattison is a great player. He was a third-round pick just 2 years ago, and he is playing the Atlanta Falcons. This is an unbelievable matchup for the Minnesota Vikings and Alexander Mattison for a one-week rental. This is buying a win to me if you can get Mattison into your lineup.
And that is the interesting thing about this pickup, because we know that Dalvin Cook – we know two things. We know, one, Madison's going to be on bye next week. So if you pick him up for this week, you don't get to play him next week.
Correct.
And then Dalvin Cook, by all – I would be shocked if he wasn't back after that against Green Bay. So you really are investing in a one-week win. So if it's me – this is not a player that I'm putting a few dollars out there for. I'm either going hard after Alexander Mattison to win this week, or I am 100% out. If I don't need to start a running back this week, or if I've got somebody similar and I don't want to blow most, he's going to cost a lot of fab this week.
What if you have Dalvin Cook?
Oh.
If I have Dalvin Cook, then it is a monstrous investment that I'm making now as a penalty for not making it earlier.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you 60-70% of your budget if you need to. If I'm the Dalvin Cook manager, I will do whatever it takes to get him. And likewise, if you aren't and you invest in Mattison, I fully expect, because of this injury and what Mattison should do this coming week, you're going to be able to then not just drop him but trade him to the Cook manager, who's going, man, I really need to have him on my roster as protection going forward. And so you're getting Mattison plus trade capital.
That's on your to-do list for the bye week following this week. After Mattison exploits the Falcons defense, you go, you got a week to trade Mattison to the Cook manager. Mm-hmm. All right. Other running backs, obviously Mattison taking up a big portion of our time, but Justin Jackson, if he's still out there, again, the bye week coming up, maybe he's a little bit cheaper. Damian Harris,
yep,
coming off of this impromptu bye week, another player that maybe is ignored, maybe not paid attention to.
Now, I don't know if you guys know the answer, because I unfortunately do not. I'm just thinking of it now. For Sony Michel, who was placed on the short-term IR, does the bye week count toward those three missing weeks? I think it does.
Yeah. Okay. It's not a game. It's a week.
Yeah.
So
in that case, it's a little unfortunate that Harris didn't get more time to
establish dominance. Look, Sony Michel will be out, and this matchup against Denver, it's fine. Yeah, Damian Harris is startable this week.
Well, and you also you get the disadvantage of him not getting that extra week without Sony, but you get the advantage of, you know, if you are grabbing Damian Harris, and let's just say he gains the role rest of season and establishes himself regardless of Sony, then he's passed his bye.
That's true.
I don't have a lot of interest outside of those names on the running back list. I mean,
no, I agree. Tony, I would start looking at the insurance guys, the Tony Pollard,
yes, it is the
and
time.
Latavius Murray. Those that we saw it with Alexander Mattison. Those are the players that you need to check your waivers for, see if they're out there, and pick those guys up over getting a start out of Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. I was able to grab Devonta Freeman the moment that Saquon went down ahead of time. And if you have one of these guys on your bench before the injury, you know, I would prioritize, if I'm putting them in order, I would go Latavius Murray one, And that's based on the injury history. I don't know if Ezekiel Elliott can be hurt. I don't know if he – I don't think he can be concussed. I genuinely do not believe he has the capability of being concussed because he's got a helmet on a helmet. You know what I mean? That's a double helmet situation.
He does have a very large head. So completely with you, Andy, that I feel like Tony Pollard is the most valuable insurance option that you will never, ever, ever be able to use. It's like a $10 million policy, but it's on the healthiest man that's ever existed.
It's a life insurance policy. You're not going to see it.
Right.
Because yeah, what?
Someone else is going to get it.
Zeke went through COVID, and then COVID was out indefinitely.
Yeah, that's
right. After going through it. Yeah, otherwise, Brian Hill, okay, the Gurley injury. Am I even thrilled about Brian Hill when Gurley goes down? I'm not really thrilled.
You're not thrilled about it, but you are thrilled that you have a running back who will see a lot of opportunity.
That's true. Otherwise, if you need a spot start at running back this week, Adrian Peterson is a spot start against Jacksonville.
Sure.
Because he will get work, and that is objective one. At the running back position, See Jerick McKinnon this past week. Work is worth more than no work. Tight end position. This one's tougher because if you don't have one of the big three, and I'm talking about Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, Mark Andrews.
Oh, George Kittle's so angry
and
with
George,
you.
And George Kittle. I apologize.
Thank you.
He's not in the top rankings because he just doesn't have enough games, but Kittle's in that group. But if you don't have one of them, it's been very, very shaky because you can do the ping pong game of, ooh, I'm going to grab this guy this week because he had a good week last week. Oh, no, wait, crap, he had a bad week. I'm going to go to this guy this week because he had a good week last week. And that would have really hurt you. Drop candidates are relative to who you can pick up. Mm-hmm. So there is no absolute here. I'm not telling everybody, go drop Tyler Higbee or Hayden Hurst or, for goodness sake, Zach Ertz. It's all about what you can pick up. Now, the bigger question mark to me is Robert Tonyan and what you believe about the tight end position in Green Bay. If Robert Tonyan is real, not a fabrication, not a ghost, if he's real, do you drop any of those three players to pick him up?
The hard part about him being real is you won't know yet.
I mean, is it Devontae Adams?
Devontae Adams has been missing, and Robert Tonyan was there. Look, opportunity was there. The talent came through for Robert Tonyan to clean up tight end four, tight end two, where his weekly finishes. But Devontae Adams, who is an absolute target vacuum, was not there. So you can't say with 100% certainty, yes, I'm dropping Zach Ertz for Robert Tonyan and I'm riding that out. I lean that way. Trust me, I lean that way of I don't want to play Zach Ertz and I'd rather take my shot on Robert Tonyan, but it is not guaranteed by any stretch.
Now, Mike, let me put you on the spot here because you this is a Mike Wright special. You have brought up players in the past that you have targeted and said they're a landmine. And that you should drop them because other people will pick them up and play them.
Yeah.
In our main league, why aren't you dropping Ertz if you believe he's washed? Because your opponents will play him.
Yes. And also,
to be clear, to be very, very clear, your opponents will play him is a way of saying, I will sign him, Mike, and I will play him.
I know. I know that Zach Ertz will be played. I wanted to go one more week. I wanted to see another week of evidence of please, please prove me wrong, Zach Ertz. And I'm not dropping Zach Ertz. Not with the way that the tight end position is right now. Maybe he was banged up and now he's healthier. I don't know. I have no idea what's going on with Zach Ertz. I have to. Yes, I need to look in the mirror with some self affirmation here on Zach Ertz. But like I'm not dropping him for Logan Thomas. I'm not dropping him for
I tell you somebody
Eric
I will
Ebron.
Drop him for. A player that I am rising on.
Is that Hooper?
It is. It's Austin Hooper.
From the Cleveland Browns.
Absolutely. And he was 5 for 57 on 10 targets last week. I've watched a lot of Browns football this year very closely just because I'm a Kareem Hunt manager and an Odell Beckham manager. The tendencies of Baker Mayfield, the needs he has in terms of avoiding sacks and taking negative plays, Austin Hooper is a fix to that. And when J.J. Zacharyson this morning tweeted out a graph of the teams with the highest tight end target tendencies in football. Cleveland is in the top two or three. He's going to mostly Hooper, some Harrison Bryant before it was Njoku. Mm-hmm. Njoku's gone. Hooper is somebody that I think I can put in my lineup and not get Zach Ertz and not get Dalton Schultz and not get empty 0 points. It might not be spectacular. It probably won't be. But 5 for 57 at the tight end, if I don't have one of the main four, give it to me.
Yeah, 10 targets is a ton for a tight end. I would go, I believe that I would probably put Tonyan first ahead of Hooper and then Hooper. The third option to me is Jimmy Grandpa. He's a thing. He's as good as any other option that you're going to find to grab a touchdown and 30 yards.
I agree. Any other thoughts on the tight end position? We've got streaming quarterbacks and defenses we need to talk about.
No, just that Dalton Schultz, if you're curious, what do you do with it? You just hold Dalton Schultz for now. He gets to play Arizona, see what Andy Dalton does. You do not move on after one bad game.
I agree with you in part because of what you brought up before the week. He actually had an injury.
Right.
He had some questions about whether he'd be active in that game, so there could have been a little bit of, you know, the disruption with Dak and that. So defensive streaming options this week, where are you targeting?
So if you're looking for players or teams that are widely available,
Miami.
Miami gets to take on the New York Jets. That is just, it's a recipe for success. That would be my absolute top streaming option. And then if you want to get down in that dumpster, the New York Giants will be taking on Washington, and Washington gives up tons and tons of sacks. And the Giants are actually putting up a decent amount of pressure on opposing quarterbacks. So that would be my backup.
That's funny. I was curious which side of the ball you want in that game. But
you can play Washington too.
Absolutely. You can play Washington. You can play the Giants.
Daniel Fumble Jones.
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you this. Who scores more real points in this game?
The Giants.
The defenses or the offenses?
Oh, okay. I got you.
Because I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's nasty. If for some reason New England's out there
because of the bye week.
Yeah, they could have been because of the bye week if somebody needed to make like a roster sponsor.
Yes.
Very, very important right now. So they could be out there. Arizona takes on Dallas, which is the Andy Dalton experience. I'm not that excited about that.
The Andy Dalton
Monday Night
streaming
football
option is enticing, right? The bad defense inheriting, you know, what I said, 75% of Dak is my expectation, which would be great. Be a lot of fantasy. But then week one is prime time for America's team. Dalton has not had the best history of big moments, we'll say.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's talk quarterbacks.
Full stream ahead.
All right, I'm going to let Mike kick it off with his streaming quarterback candidate that should not be eligible because people should have rostered him, but they super have not.
I think he may, he's either been a stream or a start of the week. Now, for the first 5 weeks, it feels like.
What's insane is that he will be for the next 5 weeks as well. People refuse to pick him up and play him.
Look, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, man. He gets to take on the New York Jets. I love it. He is widely available. He is getting it done. He is playing with zero cares. There is not a worry
for
in the world.
For the fifth year in a row.
There's not a worry in the world for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah, Tua is there. He knows that Tua is the future of the Miami Dolphins. It doesn't matter. He doesn't need to look over his shoulder. Eventually, it's going to happen. But in the meantime, he's just going to keep balling out and putting up top 12 performances.
He's got Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki and Preston Williams. That's all he needs. And Myles Gaskin.
Oh, the gas man.
He's set up. Here's his last 4 weeks. Quarterback 11, quarterback 6, quarterback 10, quarterback 2. Also known as all top 12 performances.
Man, if the Lamar Jackson managers had Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I mean, it's also just so much fun
to
watch and root for Fitzpatrick.
He's so joyful.
Oftentimes infuriating because he will throw the picks and he'll look bad sometimes, but he'll get it back.
He runs. He doesn't care if he doesn't worry about getting hurt when he runs.
No, he's nothing to lose, man.
What's the worst that can happen? You retire?
Yeah, I've never seen him slide. It's in his contract. He has to go head first.
His slide is always head first.
My start of the week is weirdly
your stream.
My stream of the week for next week, even though that's not his next game. is weirdly playing tonight. Ryan Tannehill, I think, against Houston. I expect that to be a high-scoring game next week. Hopefully he has some of his wide receiving options back next week in Adam Humphries or Corey Davis. But the matchup is good. Tannehill has been really great since he's been the starter of Tennessee. He should be available most places because you haven't been able to play any Titans
sure.
lately.
I'm going with Kirk Cousins against Atlanta.
Yep.
Reason number one, Atlanta.
Yep.
Reason number two, is Dalvin Cook is out. And
thought we were going reason number two is still Atlanta.
That's fair. But Justin Jefferson and Thielen, the ceiling has been raised by Jefferson for Kirk Cousins the way that Claypool may raise it for Big Ben. So I'm going to go with Cousins this week as a streaming option, only rostered in 16% of leagues.
I do want to also, if you had Dak and maybe things are tough for you, along with Ryan Tannehill, Matthew Stafford is coming back off of the bye week. Matthew Stafford has not been the quarterback that he was last year, but Jacksonville, Atlanta, if you're trying to get ahead of it and it's you're in quarterback trouble, I think he's a player you should look at too.
And we should talk, since this is a waiver show, a little bit more about Andy Dalton and his rest
of season
prognosis, because you've got a matchup here against Arizona that could be really good for fantasy for him. Chandler Jones is not going to be there. The pass rush shouldn't be. Like, on paper, things look good for Andy Dalton this week. And I think if you want to pick him up and play him, that's fine. I have just kind of a fear of that narrative street of Andy Dalton in primetime games. But I think it's okay. But if you look at the rest of season,
it is nice.
He is a starting quarterback with a great wide receiving core, a terrible defense, and a phenomenal schedule. I would, if I'm really been struggling at quarterback, or I've had Dak and I've been fine at quarterback, and now all of a sudden I haven't been in the streaming mood, I would be absolutely willing to get Andy Dalton even over these other streaming options just to see and put him in my lineup, because you might have someone you could play week in and week out the rest of the way.
I agree.
All right, let's do a couple mailbag questions.
Ooh. Mailbag.
Mailbag.
If you have a question for the show, thefantasyfootballers.com, click the Submit a Question button or dial our voicemail hotline, 302-464-TFFB. All right, Nicholas in Massachusetts, should I trade Kenyon Drake for Darren Waller?
Yes.
Probably.
I love this because it's hard to trade Kenyon Drake. I think you should hold on to Kenyon Drake. He's getting so much opportunity that fantasy points will come. But if I could trade him for a known commodity that's really a difference maker at a position, then yes, that's when you could capitalize on him being a running back with volume.
All right, Paul in Louisville with a trade question. Jamison Crowder for Le'Veon Bell.
Jamison Crowder is just, he is hilarious. Because no one wants to play Jamison Crowder. You have zero confidence when you plug him in your lineup, and then you go, oh, top 24 wide receiver, sweet. This is who Crowder is. Who else on the Jets is going to get those targets? It's going to be Jamison Crowder. So he is actually valuable. But if you need a running back, I'm willing to take the shot here. I would trade for Le'Veon Bell here.
Yeah, I think if I'm picking between these two players, it's Le'Veon Bell. Obviously, they both deal with the same bad offense and bad head coach, but I do believe that wide receivers will get healthier and Adam Gase will not last 16 games. I think that'll be good for Lev Bell.
One can hope. One more trade question from Angel in Arkansas. Would I trade Todd Gurley for Robert Woods?
I'm willing to do it. But look, running back is a bit of a mess right now. Todd Gurley is putting up points, albeit, very touchdown dependent, very similar to Antonio Gibson's production of recent. And the targets are not there for Todd Gurley. It's just running back attempts, Todd Gurley right now is Kenyon Drake with touchdowns.
Right. Yeah, he's getting the...
That's the only difference between Kenyon Drake and Todd Gurley right now is he's scoring.
Five touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a big difference for fantasy. But saying if those touchdowns dry up, you're just as upset with Todd Gurley as you are with Kenyon Drake.
I agree. All right, one more, because we've been talking about the quarterbacks. Aaron in Hawaii.
Aaron
in Hawaii. Just lost the number two quarterback on the season. Fitzpatrick or Dalton, rest of season?
ROS, you got to go Dalton.
I agree with that.
Yep.
unfortunately. I'd like to say Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Miami wants to help out. But all right, we want to thank Pristine Auction. We got two new studio set items. Brooks is now officially addicted to Pristine Auction. We've got a Josh Allen signed Nike football cleat.
Woo!
Which is
excellent.
Yeah, we got it for $93. And then Brooks picked up a sweet new Falcons Calvin Ridley signed jersey. Is it up on the wall?
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's great. Those jerseys are I'm growing. They're growing on me. They're still winless. $55 and 31 cents. Use our code BALLERS at pristineauction.com if you want to browse their sports memorabilia. That'll do it for us today. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Enjoy TuesdayNightFootball.com. That'll be fun. Josh Allen, 32 points, and I get to beat Mike again this week.
See you tomorrow, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
And Foot Clan, one more reminder from NHTSA. If you've ever if you ever stopped at a railway crossing and the signals are flashing, you don't see the train or it looks like it's moving slow, and maybe you think you should sneak across before it comes, think about this. Even if the engineer sees you right away and applies the emergency brakes, it can take a train a mile to stop. By that time, it's too late and the resulting crash will be deadly. Reminder, stop. Trains can't.